Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Scott Hahn, and I'd like to invite you personally to join me and Breadbox Media on August 24th in New Oxford, Pennsylvania, for a day of spiritual renewal. I'll be presenting three talks, one on St. Joseph, one on the sacrament of matrimony, and another one on the Holy Eucharist. Learn more and register at breadboxmedia.com/PA conference. I hope to see you there.
Celebrate our God-given freedom and faith while honoring our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com.
Well, thanks for being with us this weekend, especially if you don't consider yourself a church person or a religious person. If this is your first time in church in a long time or the first time ever, welcome. We are so glad you are here. And if this is your first time here or you're relatively new to the parish, we invite you to stop by our Next Steps kiosk out on the concourse after Mass. There we can tell you how to get the most out of your weekend experience. We'll give you a tour if you're interested. And we have a free gift just to thank you for being with us today. And today, as mentioned, we are kicking off our brand new message series, Ordinary Everyday Miracles. One of my go-to questions when I'm trying to get to know somebody or just as a conversation starter is, what are your top three favorite movies? Just to let you know what mine are, no particular order, but The Passion of the Christ. I love the way Jesus is portrayed in that movie. The Princess Bride. I was just quoting that movie to my son yesterday. And Braveheart. And Braveheart and Princess Bride are especially quotable. One of my favorite quotes in Braveheart is not actually said by Braveheart or William Wallace, but by Robert the Bruce. Just to refresh your memory, and for those of you who have not seen Braveheart, and if you haven't seen Braveheart, what's your problem? But Braveheart is about William Wallace and his struggle to free the Scots from English rule. And he believes in this, and that's what Wallace is working towards. But Robert the Bruce is a conflicted figure. He wants to join Wallace in his fight, but something keeps holding him back. He struggles to really believe and be all in on it. And so at one point, this leads him to betray Wallace. And after he betrays Wallace, he's racked with guilt, and he goes to his father, who's sort of a villainous character in the movie, and he goes to him for advice, but also to confess this guilt. And when he confesses what he has done, that he's betrayed Wallace, his father says this: "All men betray. All men lose heart." To which Robert the Bruce yells back at him, "I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe as he does." And I think there's a bit of Robert the Bruce in all of us, that we want to believe. We want to have faith. But at times, we're conflicted. We start to lose heart at times because of the disappointments or letdowns in life, and we can start struggle to believe in God or good things that God wants to give us. Or sometimes we struggle to have faith because we want to believe in something that is real and true, and we don't want to look foolish by believing in fairy tales or things that aren't really even possible. And so I think for all of us, we need at times for our faith tanks to be filled up. And so that's the kind of goal of this series, is to fill up your faith tank. And to do that, we're going to look at five miracle stories in the Gospel of Mark. Now, as we talk about miracles, you have one of four different attitudes towards miracles and what you believe about miracles. One group of people doesn't believe miracles exist. They believe they're impossible. And you're a person of science, and you think, miracles just don't happen. I don't believe in them. Thomas Jefferson, as a man of his time, read the Bible like most people, but he read the Gospels, and he was so uncomfortable with the miracle stories in them that he liked Jesus, but he cut out all the miracle stories, literally cut them out of his Bible because he didn't want to read about them and he didn't believe in them. Now, as a note, it's not just non-Christians or non-Catholics that don't believe in miracles or struggle to believe in miracles. A lot of Catholics struggle with it. Father Michael tells a story about being in his religion class, in a high school religion class. So he's a high school student, and they're talking about the multiplication of the loaves and fishes. And the priest teaching the class said, you know what, there really wasn't a miracle of multiplication of those five loaves and two fish that fed 5,000 people. What really happened is people brought some food, and when one person shared their food, everybody else shared their food. To which Father Michael said he was quick to raise his hand and say, excuse me, Father, but if Jesus can rise from the dead, don't you think he can multiply five loaves and two fish to feed 5,000 people? I think he got detention for that afterwards. But I think there was wisdom in that young man. I think he was going places. That guy's going places, I think. You know, that if Jesus can rise from the dead, which is the central tenet of Christianity, then pretty much every other miracle pales in comparison. But if you don't believe in the resurrection, you don't believe in miracles, that might be where you are. Some people believe in miracles, but don't believe they happened anymore. Like, when Jesus walked the earth, there was miracles. And maybe with the apostles, there was miracles, but they don't happen anymore. So, you know, if you want a miracle, too bad, so sad, go call your dad. You just, that was for a time, but they don't happen anymore. Third category of people, and I'll put my cards on the table, this is where I am, believe that miracles do happen. That Jesus still wants to perform miracles in our lives. That the stories in the Gospels, they're not just stories that are there to kind of tell us about what Jesus was able to do a long time ago to people we don't even know but cannot do in our lives now. No, those stories are there to tell us about what Jesus wants to accomplish in our lives. That what we can encounter when we come in the presence and the power of Jesus Christ. And that though we can, through faith, we come to meet the person of Jesus and experience his power and his presence. Now, as I mentioned, there's a fourth category, but I'm not going to tell you about that today. You're going to have to stay tuned for the rest of the series to talk about the fourth belief you might have about miracles. But as I said today, we're going to look at a story we're going to look at a miracle story, and these all help us to, again, fill up our faith tanks and teach us about faith so that we can experience the power, the presence of Jesus Christ. So we're in Mark chapter 2, and here is what Mark tells us. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. The he, of course, is Jesus. He returns to Capernaum, which becomes the home base of his ministry. He's rejected at Nazareth, and he kind of adopts Capernaum as his hometown, his home base for ministry. And it's reported that he's back at home. Now, previously, Jesus had been in Capernaum. He got up real early in the morning, and there were crowds of people waiting to see him. He left them aside, and now he is back. And many were told, many were gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even about the door, and he was preaching the word to them. So there is Jesus preaching and teaching about God's word, and crowds of people are coming in to hear him preach. So crowded that, like, they're lined up outside the door. You can't even get in the door. And everywhere in the Gospels, we see that crowds are attracted to Jesus. We're going to see this throughout these miracle stories. Crowds attracted to Jesus. And it's a reminder to us that if our Savior was attractive and winsome and engaging, his church should be as well. The passage continues. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic lay. All right, so let's imagine this scene for a second. These four guys are carrying their friend on a pallet or a stretcher because he cannot walk. He is lame. And they're carrying him because they're trying to get him in front of Jesus. But when they come to the place where Jesus is preaching and teaching, or where Jesus is, they can't get in. There's just too many people. It's crowded outside the door. Now, these guys could have stopped. They could have just turned to their friend and said, Fred, it's not his name. Don't look for a Fred in the gospel. But, you know, we're sorry. We can't get you to Jesus. You know, we tried our best, but we can't. No, these guys persevere. They actually climb up on the roof. They rip open the roof, and obviously wouldn't have been made of our materials, but like it was made of clay and mud and straw, but no less. They rip open the roof. They lower this guy down on a pallet right in front of Jesus. And I think this gives us a first lesson when it comes to faith. Faith perseveres. Faith perseveres in the midst of obstacles. So often I think faith is seen, again, as this really passive thing, but no, faith perseveres in the midst of obstacles. Faith perseveres when that person you've invited to church has kind of blown you off. Faith perseveres when you're struggling with debt and to get out of it and to believe that God wants to help you. Faith perseveres when in the midst of that illness to really believe God is in your life and wanting to accomplish something. Faith perseveres. So these guys persevere. And they lower their friend right down in front of Jesus. Now I wonder how, like, Jesus reacted to that. Like, if some guy came down in the middle while I was talking, I don't know how I'd react. I might freak out, you know. I think Jesus acted with poise. But it doesn't tell us whether Jesus finished his sentence or was he in the middle of a parable and then he finished the story and then, or did Jesus like just let the guy stay there for a minute and create some tension? Doesn't really tell us that, but here's what it does tell us. It says, and when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus saw their faith. Whose faith does Jesus see? He sees the faith of the paralytic's four friends. Do you ever notice sometimes it can be easier to do something good for someone else than it can be for yourself? I was reminded this last month. I got to go on a mission trip to Charlotte, North Carolina with our awesome high school students and went down there on the trip. And part of the artwork team was painting an elderly couple's house. They couldn't paint it for themselves. So our team went over to paint their house. And there I was on the Tuesday morning. I was painting the house, and I was thinking, I love this. This is great. I don't really have to think. I'm just painting. I'm not even in charge of this trip. This is awesome. And then I'm painting. I'm like, I'm really enjoying just painting. And then my next thought was this. I would never do this for myself at home. Like, I would never take a Tuesday off from work to go and paint my own house. And certainly if I took off from work to go paint my own house, I wouldn't be enjoying it. Be thinking, I have so many other things I'd rather be doing. But it was so easy for me to do something good for someone else. Likewise, sometimes it can be easier to see a decision somebody needs to make. You know, you might have a friend or family member who's in the midst of a difficult situation and they're trying to decide and it seems so clear to you. You know, they should dump him or they should marry her or they should take the job or they should quit the job. They should run away. They should stay where they are. Like, you can see so clearly other people what they should do sometimes. Likewise, sometimes it's easier to have faith for someone else than it is for yourself. That sometimes it's easier to believe for others than you can for yourself. Because, and then for us personally, that's why we need some friends in faith, because we need some people who believe in God when we're struggling to believe in Him. You know, at times it's hard for us to believe in either God's existence or believe that God is really good or really believe that God is really good towards us. At times we might believe God has the whole world in His hands, but we're not sure He has our world in His hands. And it can be easier for others to believe for us than it can be for us to believe for ourselves. That's why we need friends in faith. And that's why we're so big on small groups here at Nativity. We want you to have some friends in faith that can believe in God's goodness towards you and for you when you're struggling to believe it for yourself. So the passage tells us that Jesus sees their faith. And then it says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now, this is not anything anyone expected Jesus to say. They expected him to dress the paralytic in some way, but not to say his sins are forgiven. So this kind of causes a buzz among the crowd, especially among the religious leaders, because we're told, now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning their hearts, why does this man speak like this? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone? You know, often the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're the villains in the gospel stories. But here I can kind of associate with them. I mean, what right does Jesus have to forgive these guys' sins, this guy's sin? I mean, so for example, if someone owed you some money or somebody stole money from you and I turned to that person and said, hey, forget about that debt. That debt's canceled. You don't need to pay him back or pay her back. You'd be like, excuse me, Tom, you don't have any authority or right to cancel that debt. It's my money that I'm owed. He or she owes me money. And you're right. You'd be right. But see, in every sin, the one who's owed a debt is God. And so God can forgive all sins. And what Jesus is saying here is He is God. He has the authority to forgive sins. And of course, you know, as followers of Christ, we believe that, but nobody can see that in the moment. So the passage tells us what Jesus does. And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they questioned like this within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question like this in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your pallet and walk'?" Jesus asked this rhetorical question. And the implication, the insinuation, is that it's much easier for Jesus to give this guy the power to walk than it is for him to forgive his sins. And if you think about that, that makes sense. Because ultimately, for Jesus to have this man's sins completely wiped away, he had to go to the cross. He had to be beaten and bloodied and whipped and crowned with thorns and nails put in his hands and his feet in order to forgive the man's sins, to cleanse them completely, to forgive my sins and your sins. Jesus seems to imply it's nothing for him to make this guy walk. Yeah, he can do that easily. It's much more to forgive his sins. He says that he asks this question, and then he says this, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He turns to the paralytic and he says, "Rise, take up your pallet, and go home." And Mark tells us, and he rose and immediately took up the pallet and went out before them all. Jesus is called the divine physician. He is a healer. Sometimes that healing takes place externally. We can see it. He performs miracles we can see, we can touch. They're tactile. They're just on display for everyone to see. Sometimes those miracles that he performs and the healing he wants to bring is external. Sometimes they're external. But Jesus is always bringing internal healing. Whenever you come into the presence of the person of Jesus Christ, he wants you to experience the power of his healing. He wants to heal your broken heart. He wants to heal your wounded soul and wipe away your sins. Every time, Jesus wants to heal you. Sometimes it's external. Sometimes you can see it. Sometimes he changes the situations. Sometimes, but all the time, he wants to change you internally. Because that's our real problem as human beings, is the internal problems of living apart from God. So here Jesus does both. He heals the man's legs, and he heals the man's soul. The passage concludes this way. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." So as we wrap up this first week of this series, I want to give you a little bit of homework, two exercises to help you get the most out of this series, out of our journey together. And the first I would encourage you is to answer this question. What are you believing God for? What are you putting your faith in God to accomplish? That without God's power, it won't happen. Maybe you need a miracle of healing like in today's gospel, this gospel. That you or a family member or someone you love is struggling with a terrible disease or a traumatic event that just happened or a traumatic injury or a chronic illness, and you need God to come through in some way to bring healing. Maybe it's a miracle of provision. Maybe it's you have a need for money or more time or more energy, and you feel that lack, like you just don't have enough, and you need to see God come through some way in providing what you need. Maybe it's a miracle of control, in the sense that you or someone you love, their life is out of control. They're addicted, or they have a mental health issue, or they just suffer from chronic, or you suffer from chronic anxiety. What is it you want to bring before God and say, "God, I want to see you and your power and your presence in this"? What do you believe in God to accomplish? And maybe there's a whole big, huge thing that would take some time, but maybe you just ask for God in this series to show you, to give you a little mile marker, to give you a little sign that he is moving in this area of your life. And it may be saying a miracle. It's not a miracle like by scientific standards, but it would be a miracle to you. It would be so that you may know the power and the authority of Jesus Christ in your life. And you know what? Even if you don't believe in miracles, you believe that God moves in that way, why don't you just play along anyway? If you're someone who says, I don't even know if I really believe, name something. Play along anyway. What harm can it do? Second action is that I would encourage you to share this with at least one other person. Share what you're asking God to do and how you want to see God's power and presence in your life. Again, perfect thing would be to share it with a group, a small group member, or a couple small group members. Text them today. You know, as soon as you think of it, share it with them so they can help carry you when you're doubting and not sure you believe in God or God's goodness. And if you're not in a small group, I would really encourage you to get in a group. This fall is the time to do it. You need some friends and faith who can carry you when you're struggling to believe. We have an event coming up in just a month from today, September 4th. We have this cookout, this barbecue. You can go to our website, churchnativity.com. It's right on the main page. Click on the small group, sign up for that event, or you can go to the Next Steps kiosk after Mass. Because we all need some friends and faith to carry us when our faith is weak, when our faith tanks are low. The Gospels tell us stories of what Jesus did in people's lives 2,000 years ago. But they don't tell us these stories so that we can just admire them and say, oh, those are great stories about Jesus. No. Those stories are there to tell us about a life that's available to us. That the same person of Jesus Christ, that his presence and his power is available to our lives for those who believe. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for these stories. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for sending Jesus into our world. Thank you for the model of these guys' faith to persevere in the midst of obstacles, to bring their friend to you so that you could heal him. God, we pray that you would give us friends in faith. God, surround each and every person here with some people that can support them when they're doubting your goodness or doubting your existence. God, give us friends in faith. And God, help us to know what you want us to believe in you for, that we may know the power, the presence of your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And we make this prayer in his name. Amen. I invite you to stand for our closing song.
Well, thanks so much for being a part of our experience today, and thanks for sticking around for our bonus content here, bonus, extended segment at the end. Tom, thanks for a great message kicking off the series. Got to dying to ask. First question's got to be, we were teasing it at the beginning. All right, so tell us about your thoughts on the series title.
You kind of know my thoughts on the series title. I mean, I didn't like it. There's a kind of like cut the chase and just the sense of, you know, I think ordinary, I guess, is the word I don't like.
Okay.
You know, I think that's the way. I mean, I think, and just our kind of pattern of this, we kind of write up a series summary and then we decide on a title, and the meeting we decided on the title, I was not at that meeting, and sometimes you got to grin and bear it. You know, you could go away on vacation. Life goes on. So anyway, so I should have just grinned and bear it, but now I have to confess it.
Yeah, you're voicing it. Let it be known. No, but that's good.
Yeah, we're having fun with it. We're not like coming to blows over it or anything like that. So
not yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's all right. So I think it's going to be a good series nevertheless. What maybe didn't make it into the message today that you would love to have had time to include, or aspects of the story that...
Yeah, a couple of things. I think, you know, one, I talked about more, and I actually practiced it before and then cut it out. Just, this is a little small point, but just about, I think, again, the reason I'm talking about Thomas Jefferson is we can read the Bible even if you don't believe it, I think, is that encourage people that maybe you are a science, I don't believe in miracles, I still encourage you to read the Bible, read the scriptures, you know, because you know where else do you say, I don't believe this, so I'm not reading it. You read it, then you decide what you believe, and you're still getting to know the person of Jesus, I think, in the Gospels, even if you don't believe in it. And obviously, again, I believe in miracles, but I think you can start and get to know Jesus through the Gospels even if you don't believe in miracles. So,
yeah, absolutely. There's just a subtext or theme to this series, I think, that you were saying, you know, off camera before, we'll discover as the weeks go on that this is a journey, right?
Yeah, and that's one thing that's not in there, too, I think, and we might pick it up through the rest of the series, so stay tuned for that, in the sense that, really, I think the place we should kind of chart to put ourselves is in the disciples, or the apostles, right? Those guys closest to Jesus, and that they didn't believe in miracles really either. So I guess that would be like even a good thing. You know, I don't know they believe in Jesus' miracles, as we're really going to see next week. And they go through a journey, and that's the journey we can be taking through this series as well. So, and we'll tell you more about that as we go on, but that it really is a journey. And I think Jesus, a lot of these miracles, Jesus is taking those apostles on a journey to deepen their faith in him.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com, for faith, fellowship, and love.